14 and verse 16. Luke 14:16. He said unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. We are probably all familiar with this parable, which is called the parable of the great supper. It is a story which Jesus told while sharing a meal with one of the rulers or chief men of the Jews. Somebody listening to the conversation which took place at that time, a conversation which was about the need to offer hospitality to the poor and needy, expressed the view quite suddenly that it would be a wonderful thing to be invited to the feast one day provided by the Messiah, the Savior promised in the Old Testament. In Psalm 22, we read that at the time of the Messiah, men would feast. It's mentioned again in Isaiah chapter 25. And Christ responded to this man's exclamation by telling this parable. A parable which suggested that when Christ did come, and of course he had come, the Jews would be unwilling to come to the feast. And sinners of the publicans and the harlots would come instead, taking their places. Now, I don't want to go into the details of the parable, save perhaps to mention this, that in verse 16, a certain man in the story represents God, who in love for sinners has made provision for their spiritual need. The many that were bidden or invited are sinners, the needy ones, particularly the Jews, who all through the Old Testament were called upon to come, to taste and to see that the Lord is gracious. O everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and him that hath no money, let him come buy and eat. And such like calls were given through the ancient prophet. The supper time, which eventually came, was the time of the gospel and the time of grace, when everything was ready and all the blessings of the Savior were available, and the salvation, long promised, was now within reach. And so at this time, the servants were sent out to make a further call. The servants were the Lord himself, of course, and the apostles after him. And they said to them that were bidden, that is, the Jews who had been called all through preceding years by the prophets, to say to them, come and turn to God and find salvation, for all things are now ready. The gospel in its fullness is being preached. God offers salvation. salvation to every believing sinner. Christ is ready to receive those that turn to him. Forgiveness is bestowed upon the guilty, and comfort of eternal life will be granted to all who apply for it. Everything's ready. It's the call of the gospel. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. And what was true then is true today and will be true as long as the gospel is preached in this world, that though God provides salvation and the call goes out to sinners and everything is conducive to their turning to God and finding salvation, men all with one accord to make excuse. And I want to say concerning that three things. The first is this. This is very wrong. Just how many, when called to be saved, resort to making an excuse? Why do men do that? Well, let me give you some reasons. One reason is unbelief. You see, they're not persuaded of the truth of God's word. They don't believe in the reality of salvation. They are not convinced of an eternity to come. And it is the evil heart of unbelief which is responsible for their excuse, whatever it is. Secondly, it is ignorance. If men turn down the gospel and excuse themselves from responding to its terms, it is often because they have no conception of the gospel's importance or the importance of believing in Jesus or the importance of being saved. Paul speaks of the ignorance that is in men through the hardness of their own hearts. Thirdly, a reason for it is enmity. The sin which dwells in men and women makes them averse to anything pertaining to God. The apostle in Romans 8 says the natural mind is enmity with God. And Paul speaks elsewhere of men being enemies in their minds by wicked works. And there is something in man that doesn't like the gospel. It's difficult to be more specific, difficult to explain that, but there is something which reacts against the gospel. That is why if you go to the marketplace and preach the gospel, you'll get a fair share of abuse. And that is why men will blaspheme when Christ is preached. And that is why men will take a tract with one hand and screw it up and cast it down before you. There is an enmity in the heart of man. And Christ spoke of such enmity. And he spoke of one day dealing with his enemies. Fourthly, the reason is self-righteousness. We make excuses because we feel at certain times, well, what's it all about anyway? I don't need to be converted. I don't need to be forgiven. I don't need to be saved. I've always had a respect for what I believe is morality. I've always tried to keep the obvious commandments. I have attained to a reasonable standard of living. And like the Pharisee in the temple, we say, I thank thee, Lord, that I am not as other men. And self-righteousness is the reason why some men won't convert. And some men will put Christians off. Give some specious reason why they are not interested. Fifthly, it is worldliness that is the reason for making an excuse. Men feel that their business and their pleasure doesn't allow them to become Christians. Should they turn to Christ and become Christ, then some of these things would have to change. Certainly, our indulgence in them would have to be restricted. And there's no way, these men say, these women say, that we're going to change that. We like our lifestyle, we like our social life. And therefore, no, I can't come tonight. Because, and I don't really have the time to talk about the gospel because worldliness. It may even be worldly friends. I couldn't possibly become a Christian because I would lose the best friends I have. Excuse. I don't know what people would say about me if my life changed and I became like you. Excuse. I think I should be awfully lonely, you know, without the parties and the nightclubs. Excuse. Actually, it may be wisdom that is responsible for it. I mean, worldly wisdom. The wisdom of your own conceit. When people are confronted with the gospel, they say, I know that's what the Bible says, but this is what I think. And many times have I heard that. I know the Bible says that God created the world, but have you heard of Richard Dawkins? And who on earth is Richard Dawkins? But men would rather believe that man than they would Almighty God. Because you see, they're so impressed with human wisdom. And a man has only to write a book or produce a television program, and the effect is exceedingly great. I have known people in my own family circle, if it's on the telly, it's true. Well, I'll only say to that, that many of the programs which relate in any way to Christianity are produced by total rank unbelievers. And my limited experience has shown me that it's far from true. I listened to an hour's program one night a year or so ago on one of the channels on the Ark of the Covenant, and I switched it off because it was full of mistakes, and certain facts which the producer had not taken into account, and the narrator obviously had no clue about whatsoever. It's not true because it's on the box. But men would prefer to believe an hour of Channel 4 than a minute of the Word of God. And friends, it is an excuse. We like what they say because it makes no demand upon us. And we are thankful that there's a get-out clause. You see, that's why I find the Bible difficult, because of David Attenborough. Alas, David Attenborough. It may lastly be plain deceit. They all with one accord began to make excuse. But it was deceit. I brought a piece of ground. I want to go and see it. Is that an excuse? I have got 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. You should have done that before you bought them, foolish man. Is that an excuse? I've married a wife, therefore I can't come. Then who's wearing the trousers in your house, my friend? You want to sort yourself out and answer God. It was all a deceit. And men today, when they're pressed with the gospel, will come forth with some far-fetched reason why they can't become a Christian. It's weird and it's wonderful. There'll always be something. And the Bible says God is not mocked. Whatever the excuse may have been, it was rejection. And the Lord, we read, was angry. That is in the parable. The master of the house, verse 21, being angry, they rejected the word of God. They declined the invitation. They had turned their back upon Christ. I say again, this is very wrong. Secondly, this is very common. That's intimated there in verse 18. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. And do we not find it so in the Word of God? That almost whatever we read, we find men confronted with the Word of God, and they come up with some excuse why they can't do as God says. Now let me give you some examples of how men make excuse. Adam made excuse in the Garden of Eden when the Word of God came to him. And he says, Lord, the woman that thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. That is an excuse, Adam, for the inexcusable. Moses and Aaron come to Pharaoh and they say, let the people go. Pharaoh says, who's the Lord that I should obey him? That's an excuse, Aaron. Your ignorance does not excuse disobedience. Let the people go. He may not be Egypt's God, but he's Israel's God. And he is the true God of heaven and earth. Let the people go. The prophet tells Naaman, the high officer in the Assyrian army, suffering from leprosy, to go and wash himself in Jordan. Oh, there are not better rivers in Damascus. Why don't you do what the prophet says, Naaman? Well, I thought, he says, excuse. Nailed. It is what God says, not what you think, Naaman. The Lord Jesus says to one, follow me. Lord, suffer me first to bury my father. Reasonable enough, you might think, except that the man's father hadn't died yet. And what he was saying in effect was, Lord, let me wait until my father dies and I've sorted out the affairs of the family, and at some unknown, unspecified time in the future, I'll follow you. Excuse. Felix, listening to Paul, let me hear thee in a more convenient season. Convenient enough, Felix. Your life's on the line. You're holding between heaven and hell. That is an excuse. Oh, it's common enough, isn't it? And what are the excuses people make today? Now, let me give you just a sample. I do wish you'd come to church and hear the gospel. The minister explains the way of salvation. Ever so sorry, I don't have the time. That is a pathetic excuse. For there is a time for everything under heaven. You don't have time to see about the salvation of your never dying soul. You're a bigger fool than you look. Second excuse. Oh, the message is so difficult. I don't understand it. Well then, my friend, let me meet you in two places there. If you don't understand it, what are you doing to understand it? Are you coming to hear it? Are you daily reading it? No, then it's an excuse. And the other count? You're wrong anyway. The way of God's salvation is plain. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You have a problem with that? You need to be admitted. Repent and believe the gospel. That baffle you? Feel sorry for you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Is that beyond you? Then everything must be beyond you. It is an excuse. Third excuse. I just can't believe. Why can't you believe? Because you won't believe. Jesus said, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. How often would I have gathered you and ye would not. It is not can't, it is won't. It is the will of man against the will of God. And to suggest otherwise is an excuse. The next one, I'm too sinful, I fear. Absurd. Christ is in the business of saving Mary Magdalene, the woman who was a sinner, Saul of Tarsus. You worse than they? Well, you say, I fear I am. He came into the world to save sinners, and the chief of them. And though your sins be red like crimson, he promises they will be as white as snow. It is an excuse. Again, if I become a Christian, I don't think I'll be able to keep it up. I heard somebody in this church say that to me not many months ago. A man said to me, if I become a Christian, I'd never be able to keep it up. It is an excuse. And why? Because if you become a Christian, God will keep you up. And that is the promise. He upholdeth. He is able to keep you from falling. It is, believe me, an excuse. Last excuse. Well, I'm running out. But you've cornered me, and it's time to be honest. I love my sin too much. And that is an excuse. Your sin will bring you to the gates of hell. And how can you love it more than Christ, who will bring you to the gate of heaven? The term of the gospel is repent of your sin and turn from it. Turn to me, says Christ, and I will save you from your sins. It is an excuse. You see, it's very common, and they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. It's very wrong, very common. And lastly, this is very dangerous. if I looked at you tonight, eye to eye, and I said to you, have you become a Christian? You'd squirm. Embarrassing. And when you'd rediscovered your self-composure, you would say to me, well, it's not quite straightforward, you see. This is why, and that's why. And you'd come out with your 10 guinea excuses. And what I want to say to you is that is not only wrong and common, but it is dangerous, because it is a challenge to God. It is God who says, be converted, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And it is you that says, but I have an excuse why I can't do that. It is a challenge to the authority of God Himself. Secondly, it provokes His anger. He that believeth not, the wrath of God abideth on him. God is angry because you have despised His word, because you've not complied with His call, because you have refused His Son. And why shouldn't a God be angry? And thirdly, it is dangerous because in the parable, the man who provided the feast said, once these people have made their excuse, they will never come to my supper. And they came under the judgment of heaven and were given up to what we call judicial hardening, and God determined they would never be converted. It is dangerous. It is dangerous because it is defiant. It is dangerous because it is provocative. And it is dangerous because it imperils your soul. Perhaps I may be allowed to add one other reason. It's dangerous because whatever excuse you make to me tonight for not being a Christian, it will not hold on the day of judgment. Remember the man in Matthew 22, who on the day of judgment was asked why he wasn't saved, and Jesus said, he was speechless. The day of judgment, excuses will not do, because the judge sees through all our deceit. And all things are naked and open to that God with whom we have to do. But Lord, it will not do, my friend. But it was like this. It will not do. But I couldn't. It will not do. The gospel came to you. You turned it down. And you despise my Son. There is no excuse for that. Vengeance on them that obey not the gospel. Well, my friend, why aren't you converted? You had better tell God.